Blog Talk Radio.
Shout out to Adrian Adonis. Yeah. This ain't no video game. Yeah. This life will only give you 1 year. That's where my brothers, we are locked up in a brutal scene.
Damn.
Fuck underground, I'm thunderbound. Damn. So point the arrow now. Damn. I built the pyramids and rose the sun. So call me Pharaoh now.
Grab
that's just some food for thought. So take it like a protein.
Yeah.
I live in places that's so anti-black and pro-green. Money
Damn.
Over Africans, but we ain't really Africans.
African.
Divide us like we fractions, so we won't reclaim our past again.
God
so tell your fucking pastor, Robin Master, take a class again.
Yeah.
Cause I'm gonna show these people there's no need for you to ask a man.
Nah.
Just get up on your knees and talk to God. Don't worry about your sin. I'm telling you the truth, my words, my bond, and I can vouch for him. This light up in the tunnel, can't you see it? Use your glasses, damn. I'm tired of all my people. See, that's niggas with no action plan.
And
I didn't choose to rap. He just fell into a backup plan. So
yeah.
Let go so he can show you how he's built a master plan.
Yeah.
I rise with the sun.
Even if you ain't the same, and treat your lady with respect, even if she hates your vein. It's easier to do the bad, I'm urging you to please refrain. Read about some righteousness or open up a business, man. If you don't really feel this, turn it off and toss it in the drain. Cause I ain't got no feelings for no sheep who's lost without his brain. Michael Brown, he left me with a frown, but he should've known better, man. When he looking for a reason to put a bullet in his letter, man. And don't you get the clue that all these people scared of all us? Cause we made it through that slavery by Rolexes and Rovers. And you can't hold us down, we hold the crown for majors before us. And though you play with money, we still know that you below us. Now look what you done did, I'm so mixed, I'm just mixed up. Cause I can see the point of every picture with these scriptures. If you never take a handout, you can never be a victim. So I don't participate inside these pretty little prisms. Money, military, college.
All right. Welcome. What's going on, everybody? This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, Master Teacher 33. And today is Monday. That's right, Monday. Monday, March the 13th of 2017. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you and I respect your time, so I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, today, my sister, we'll continue with part two. We talked about it yesterday. We were talking about the scripture that talks about not putting the old wine in a new wineskin. We broke down on yesterday, I'm saying yesterday, but I think it was Saturday, actually, when we did part one. We really spent some time going over the basics of understanding how whatever your mental disposition is right now that you're maintaining, that mental disposition cannot be used to solve additional problems. In other words, there has to be a change or there has to be a reprogramming of the subconscious mind that takes place in order for you to stop having to depend upon your current coping mechanism that isn't working. So your current behavior, whatever it is, isn't working. If it was working, you wouldn't be listening to this show. if what you were already doing was already have you in a position of being wealthy, healthy, wise, and in a great relationship, then there would be no need to recondition or reprogram. So today we want to talk about how to unlock the subconscious mind. That's the wine. The wine represents a fermentation process. So we want to look at this process that we talked about on the last show. The scripture talks about in the book of Psalms, chapter 82, verse 6. Psalms 82, verse 6 says, I have said unto you that ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. So my question to you is, if the Bible says that you are gods and that you are a child of the Most High, what's the issue or what's the concern that we have? And you may say, well, Brother Will, that's great, man. That's awesome. That's Old Testament. Let's go to the New Testament. New Testament says in John chapter 10, verse 34. John 10, 34 says, Jesus answered and said unto them, it is written, in your law I have said, ye are gods. John 10, 34. Now, that's a problem. That's a big, big problem, because I don't know anybody that walks around and carries themselves as a god. Not the god, but a god. So you will never be wealthy, you'll never be healthy, you'll never be wise, you'll never have a great relationship until you're transformed. So today we're talking about this pattern that needs to be changed. The scripture says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So today, brothers and sisters, we dropped the gauntlet. As I said before, looking for five more people to join, the people that I'm already working with, to bring about this process. Because regardless of anything that you say, anything that you do, no matter who you talk to, until you change your subconscious brain, nothing is going to manifest in your life. Now, it's already there. It's just covered underneath all of the patterns that you have on top of it. So you have these negative habit patterns. That pattern is overriding your existing pattern. So now we have to go through this fermentation process. And what's interesting is the process of turning grain into wine is what we call fermentation. Now, what's interesting is that the Bible talks about wheat and tares. Process of making, especially like some of the hard liquor, uses grain. So the grain is harvested. The scripture talks about that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So when we look at this grain, the first thing is that the grain is collected. It is put into a storage bin. From the storage bin, it's placed into a grinder. From the grinder, the next thing that is done is mashed up, and it is put into a cooker, and malt is added. And then it's placed into what is called a cistern. Now, that word is mentioned in the Bible also. That's like a place that stores beliefs, a cistern. And from a cistern, vapors are pulled off of the process or the grain. Those vapors represent thoughts, frequencies, wave of vibration. There, water is added, then it is aged, and then bottled. Now, that is the fermentation process from a biological or chemical distillation process. Now, each one of those steps is a step that you got to go through mentally or spiritually to bring about a change in your form, the same way that we can turn grain or wheat or barley or whatever they use into alcohol or liquor is the same process that you got to go through to turn your old man into the new man, to turn old wine into new wine. Now, we have to go through this process using the biblical understanding, because most of us have a biblical foundation. I could use the biological foundation, or I could use the esoteric, the New Age, what some people call Wicca or Wiccan process. But since most of us have a biblical worldview, we'll stick with the biblical perspective. But don't get it twisted. There are other perspectives that I talked about in the previous show. All you got to do is go to the dictionary.com or any great dictionary and look up the definition of the word metamorphosis, and you will find the worldview, the complete change of form. Now, so that way you have a clear understanding of what the scriptures call metamorpho, what the New Age, and what the Luciferians call metamorphosis or witchcraft. So that way you understand that they both are the same process. Let's go through this process. If this process does not take place in your life, you will find that you will not be wealthy, you will not be healthy, you will not be wise. You will not be able to maintain your mental disposition in any type of an adverse condition. So anytime the enemy wants to make sure that he can limit your ability to change, he will always get you to join in another act or play. That means your change, your form, your shape, your mental disposition is going to be controlled by events outside of you. So if I want to just change your mental disposition, all I got to do is walk up to you and just say a derogatory statement. And you're going to feel something, and you're going to be pulled into something that's going to change your form. And so your mental disposition is one of something that has to be maintained. But how do you maintain your mental disposition? So I've talked to a lot of people, and people tell me all the time, man, that that's, you know, something that can't be done. But yet Yahushua did it all the time. You know, the fact that he was not pulled out, he said he could have came off the cross at any time he wanted to. He could have called down a legion of angels. He could have did a lot of different things, but he didn't. So he wasn't conformed to this world. So everything that happens in your life is designed to conform you to the pattern of the world. Let me say that again. First of all, you got to understand that there's two patterns. That's the first problem that we got. The first problem is that most people don't understand that you have two patterns. Now, I'm going to be breaking this really, really breaking this down with my group. So that's why I highly encourage you, if you're serious and you want to break the conditioning and the programming, you have to understand what colostrum is and how to activate it and use it to change. So you need to email me at masterteacher33.com@gmail.com. That email address again is masterteacher33.com@gmail.com. So that way I can show you how to break your conditioning, how to break your programming. Now, hopefully you're saying, like most people, it's like, Doc, that sounds great, man, but I like my old mindset. You can't put new ideas into an old mindset. You can't get new results with old behavior. So how do we change the behavior? Well, you got to change the form. How do we change the form? Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans 12, 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies more than one, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. First thing, you got to make sure, brothers and sisters, that you present your bodies, all of them, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, again, what you're doing is you are surrendering your will, your body, to God, because your body is the temple. Now, I want to make sure that I teach today and do no yelling and preaching today. I want to speak slowly and concisely and precise so that way you can truly understand what I'm about to share. Because what I'm about to share is one of the most dangerous things that you will ever learn. Because if you look at the definition, as I've encouraged you to do, of the word metamorphosis, it is a change of form or shape, especially by witchcraft, from the Latin word metamorphosis, from the Greek word metamorphosis. It is a transforming. It is a transformation. It is a metamorphoul. That's the word noun, but foul with a ph. With the it's a metamorphoul. It means to transform, transfigure. It means meta, change, morph, form. So meta means to change. Now, I'm a meta position. That means to change physics. So I have the ability to change physical issues. But how do I change physics? I change my physicals with my mentals. Let me make sure you understand. Now, back in the ancient text, this was taught. There was no such thing as what we call Cretans or even Crestans. They were all magicians. Now, one of these days, I may go a little further down to give you the history. If you don't want to wait for me, you can do it yourself. You can go back and do the same research that I did on the Christian magicians. They were all magicians. Before this, 6,000 years before this thing called Cretanism existed, before the religion that you got was even a thought form, there was magicians. Now, these magicians have what you call and did what you call taboo, occult, evil, whatever word you want to conjure up. But back in the old days, this was normal. So now the normal is abnormal. Now, again, Lucifer ain't stupid. So he made bad good and good bad. Now, let me make sure that you understand what I'm expressing, exposing, and expanding to you today, because this is where the rubber meets the road. When you look at the word magic and the word magi, those are three wise men that came. Those three wise men, they were magi. They were magicians. They were magnetic. They understood magnetism. They understood electricity. They understood physics. They were meta, change physics. They could change physics. And so this basic understanding of what is called magic Christians or magicians. Now, what they have today, this watered down, lukewarm, I don't know what you want to call this stuff that they do today. These are just tricks. But back in the ancient days, these was not tricks. This was the real deal, Holyfield. They understood what they call in all of the Coptic texts of ritual magic and ritual power. This was basic knowledge. Everybody, 6-year-old kids, was doing this. But something happened. All of this information was lost. All of the ancient Christian magicians now were demonized. They were burned at the stake during what we were known as the Crusades. Now, this is not a history class today. I wish I had the time to give you the history for the people that are like me who don't believe what nobody say. You need proof. Like I told you before, all you got to do is just go into Google, type in Council of Nicaea. Start there. Why did they need a council? How did the Bible go from 80 books down to 60? Type in the word, gnosis. Type in the word ancient Christian magician or ancient Christian magic if you're really serious about understanding the ancient text. But, again, the kingdom of heaven is within you, and whosoever shall know themselves shall find it. Now, that's not in the Bible. That is in the Egyptian Book of the Dead, but that's not in the Bible. Now, it used to be in the Bible before Constantine got a hold of it. There's a lot of stuff I wish I could sit down and share with you, with the world, so to speak, so that way you can really understand why you're in the position that you're in. See, right now, outside stuff affects you because you're in this world where good and bad, and you think you have rights. You have this entitlement spirit. You believe that somebody is doing something to you when you don't even understand that there is nothing in the world but you, meaning that everybody is a division of you. Everybody is the division of the one, meaning that the only thing that happens in your life is what you project out. You don't see outside of you, inside of you, out, meaning that your life is a movie projector, meaning that what you are living, what you are doing is what you ordered and what you believe. That means nothing can come into your frequency, into your wave. It can't even come into your vision. You can't even see it unless you are a frequency match for it. The kingdom of heaven is within you, and it is projected outside of you. There is no such thing as seeing outside in. You see inside out. This is scientifically proven that your eyeballs, your brain projects your beliefs out, and it forms the matter to take on the shape that matches the ideal in your head. So you think that your problem is outside of you. That's the problem. The problem is that you think everything that exists is outside of you. Nothing is outside of you. Everything is a projection from inside of the brain, the subconscious brain, outside. So if you don't deal with and change the subconscious brain, you'll never have two nickels to rub together because your belief system limits your ability to see two nickels. Now, all of this conditioning program happened when you was a little youngster. Before the age of 6, 7, some people say 8, your subconscious brain was sealed. And so now, everything that you have in your life is the result of what you believe in your subconscious brain. The subconscious brain is 90% of the brain. The conscious brain only represents 10%. So my math is a little fuzzy, but 9 is more than 10. Last I checked. So if I put 90% on a scale and I put 10% on the scale, I think the scale is going to tip on the side of the 90%. So I deal with changing the 90%. Now, let me make sure you understand what it talks about in the ancient text. Because the ancient text says this, the kingdom of heaven is within you. Now, the current text says the same thing, but it doesn't say this. whosoever shall know themselves shall find the kingdom within themselves. Now, this is an ancient Egyptian proverb that was found in the Egyptian Book of the Dead and a lot of the other Egyptian texts. But you can go back before the Egyptian text and find proof. Now, what is this proof that we're looking for, brothers and sisters? Well, the proof is inside of the biological process. So the word metamorphosis means a dramatic change in form. Okay, let's go to the biblical text, since most of us have a biblical worldview. So when we look at the biblical text, again, what we're looking at is the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and it tells us, Romans 12, 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind. So there is something about changing form, and that's what today's message is about. So it says to be not, so we're not supposed to be conformed. So the first thing we need to know, basically, what does it mean to be conformed? Because whatever that means, I don't want to do it. Because it tells us, don't do it. It says, don't be conformed. Because if we be conformed, then that means that we fall underneath the pattern of the world. Because it says, don't be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we want to focus on how butterflies, how caterpillars turn into butterflies. I want to do the same thing. How tadpoles turn into frogs. I want to do the same thing. Well, first thing we've got to do is we don't want to do this.
Strong's G, 4964. Sushematizo.
So please write this down. This is what you don't. Well, this is what you're doing, but you don't want to do this no more. Everybody listen to the sound of my voice. You are under the spell. You are under the pattern of sushematizo. So sushematizo means to conform oneself, a.k.a. one's mind, one's character, to another passion, to another pattern. It means to fashion one's self according to another pattern. So, me and you friends, we decided to meet up at Starbucks, have some coffee. I'm a car-carrying, and you are a Christian. And so I come and I tell you my pattern, based upon a short, fat guy with a big belly named Buddha. You tell me your pattern based upon a blonde hair, blue-eyed Jesus. Now, if I can get you to conform your mind to my pattern, you've just been suhate my teeth older. The Bible said don't do that. Now, let me ask you the question. How did you get your current pattern, my anointed brother? How did you get your current pattern, my beautiful sister? You got suhaid matizod when you was 5, 6, 7, or whenever you got saved. You got suhaid matizod. Now, all of the ancient text says you already got a pattern at birth. The ancient text says that God knew you in your mother's womb. The ancient text says that you was predestined. It said that you was predetermined. It said that you came into this world with a disposition at birth. That's what the ancient text says before Constantine got a hold to it and said that you need to be suhaid matizod. So you've been suhaid matizod. And you think you left a bad pattern for a better one. And you got suhaid matizod. You got controlled. They did the old switcheroo. So what belief system you got? Is that the one you was born with? I don't think so. Because the one that you was born with, your mother and father suhaid matizod you. They told you conform to this pattern. And when you was born, you already had a pattern. Now, think back to when you was a little munchkin and you used to ride around and you automatically did things. It's amazing. I like watching babies. So I look at my little grandchildren and I see my son, daughter, and she kind of reminds me of him because she's like, she don't have no fear. She just, she's barely learned how to walk now, and now she just runs off and she's trying to climb stuff, pick up stuff. All babies are very curious, but I remember my son, when the first time he saw a swimming pool, he was barely walking. He just ran and just jumped in. He didn't even know how to swim. He was a baby. He was like, we couldn't take him anywhere because he was a risk taker. Then he grew up, Well, the first thing he did, he bought a skateboard, and he was jumping off people's rooftops, skateboard, when he was like 8, 9, 10 years old. He was like this little risk taker, this little daredevil. Then I see his daughter doing the same thing. She's born that way. And then I got my son, and I sue Hayden Matizzo on him. I say, boy, if I catch you on top of somebody's roof, because the neighbors was calling me and say, Mr. Rogers, your son is on my roof. I said, what are you doing on these people's roof? He would go to skateboard parks. He's the only, you know, my granddad, he's half black, half white, but he was the only melanated kid in the group. He was born that way until I sued Hayden Matizzo him with something called pain compliance. So whenever he didn't comply, I administered pain. Called a belt. So when the neighbors called me, Mr. Rogers, your son is on my roof. I got my belt. BJ, bring your butt on in here. A couple of good licks of that. He put the skateboard up. He ain't picked it up since. So I conformed him. He wasn't born that way. Neither was you. Whatever you're doing right now, you wasn't born that way. Somebody sue Hayden Matizzo'd you to conform to their pattern. Now, we say that, hey, I was doing it for my son's protection. I didn't want him to hurt himself. So, you know, I came in and I said that I know better. Regardless of the reason why, I need you to understand what happened to you. How are you going to change something that you don't even know is wrong? Right now you got a pattern, but is it the pattern that you was born with? It was not, I don't know about that, man. I'm still on the fence. Okay, great. All I know is that what you was born to do, you're not doing it. Because you was born healthy, you was born wealthy, you was born wise, and you was born with the ability to not allow outside things to affect you. Some kind of way you lost that. You got to get it back. Because the Bible says, be not conformed to this world. Now, this word means aeon or age. The word conform means sute matio. Let's get to the good stuff. But it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we need to change our form by renewing our mind, not our body. So people ask me, Doc, why are you a meta change physician physics? Because to change physical stuff, you use mental tools. So in order for me to get you to be able to break the conditioning and the programming that you have been programmed to since birth, I got to use spiritual tools to bring about a physical change. So it says, be not transformed. Now remember, according to the ancient text, this was changed. What I'm getting ready to share with you was changed. And in the ancient text, it was called grammaria or grammatus. Now it's called witchcraft. Now, everybody's what they call a grammar caster. You practice what is called beaning. Now, you've never been taught this, so you don't understand it. So I do this every day. If you listen to my shows, I make statements of what is called a declaration. The Bible calls it declaring and decreeing. It calls it calling those things that are not as though they were. So if you listen carefully to my shows, I make emphatic statements of things that don't exist. And all of my emphatic statements that I make during my shows, 30 days later, sometimes sooner than that, they all manifest in my life. So this is my playground that I do beaming and grammar casting. So now all of this is inside of all of the shows that come on TV today. I can't even, man. Every time my kids are always telling me, hey, Dad, did you see, how was that show called? Every new show that comes out on Sci-Fi Channel and Fox is all about grammar casting and beaming. Now, they use witches and they use warlocks and all this stuff, and all of the Cretans are up in arms about it, not knowing that Yahushua used to do the same thing. Now, I don't know if I could go through and break all of this down for you in an hour. But all I know is if you look at all of the new, there's one called Pure Genius. There was a new show on Fox called Lucifer. They ain't even trying to hide it. There's another sitcom called Frequency, based off of the movies Frequencies. that I've, you know, told everybody to watch. There's another sitcom. Oh, man, what was it called? Man, I'm trying to remember these. Designated Survivor. Yeah, Designated Survivor. That's another one. Comedy one. Man, they got a bunch of them. I can't remember. I should have wrote all of these down because I had them all down, especially the one Pure Genius. And then another one, Frequencies. Fox have a plethora of one. The Exorcist. Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Again, based off of the movie, but now it's a series. Pitch. There's another one called Pitch. That's a good one. Making History. What's another one? Emerald City. That's another one called Emerald City. Timeless. The movie Limitless. The movie Lucy. All of these movies, all this stuff is talking about one thing. They're all telling you things, how to program mass of matter with your brain. Then, as you told, I just watched Doctor Strange again. I've seen that a few times already. You haven't seen Doctor Strange. The movie Split. Man, every movie that's coming out now, every sitcom that's coming out is a rehashing or retelling of what I'm sharing with you today. And it's, again, been demonized because of the Council of Nicaea, Salem witch hunts, Napoleon, all of this stuff. You can look at the definition of the word grammar. Let's just start with the basics. You go to dictionary.com or any good dictionary and just look at the – now, everybody uses grammar. Is there anybody in America that did not go to grammar school? Anybody? Is there anybody that did not go to school and learn? How do you learn? That's witchcraft. Now, what you do every day in your life was called witchcraft back in the day. Now it's cool. It is the study of syntax. This is called morphology. Now, I wish I was making this up. Just go to dictionary.com and type in the word grammar. It is the study of the way sentences of language are constructed, morphology and syntax. Now, morphology and syntax are two of the seven ingredients to be a good witch. Now, like I said, I wish I was making this up. It'd be a little bit more palatable. But look at it in the Greek and the Latin word. The Latin word, grammatica. Now, that was a movie way back in the day called Grammatica. What were they trying to tell you? Just like the movie Fifth Element. What they were telling you was what I'm sharing with you today. Now, the word grammatica or the word grammar come from the word grammar, G-R-A-M-A-R-Y-E. Anybody want to blow cookies? Look that one up. Grammar. The word grammar means magic. It means incantation. It means spells. It means mumbo jumbo. It means irregular semi-popular adoption, O-E-D. You want to blow your cookies? Look up O-E-D, the Latin word O-E-D. Now, again, because I'm not practicing or teaching anybody to be a good witch, even though you already won because you went to grammar school. If you went to grammar school, you was taught Wiccan. You was taught what they called in the ancient text incantating. Now, again, I'm reading this directly out of the dictionary. I'm asking you not to believe me, to go to dictionary.com, any good dictionary. But you got to find the original definition of the word before it was changed by Constantine. Now, I know this is contrary to your religious theology. That's why you have no spiritual results, because what you have is not what you got is religion. You don't have a true connection with the big G. Now, I'm not trying to belittle anybody. I'm not trying to make fun of nobody. I'm not trying to talk down to anybody. I've just been saying this for 25 years. I'm getting a little tired of saying the same thing over and over again. I've been asking and begging people to look up the definition of the words that they use, and they don't do it. So I don't know what else to do. I don't know how else to say it. Now, if you really are truly serious and you're tired of playing, if you go to dictionary.com and type in the word grammar, and if you go down to the bottom of the page where it says word origin in the history of the word grammar, you will see early 14th century, the word grammar means learning. Next it says Latin, grammar, magic, incantation, spells, mumbo jumbo. What the is mumbo jumbo? That's another study for another time, man. We ain't even got time. You know, have you been to New Orleans? People talk about voodoo. Voodoo is child's play. but about hoodoo. Mumbo jumbo is the moving around of letters. Why do y'all think I put so much emphasis on names and letters? Why do I do a 500-page DLPN report that I make for people that they don't even freaking read it? And they wonder why their lives are not successful. This is all I do every day is mumbo jumbo. Move letters around. It's called an incantation. Now, really, if I was doing didactic teaching, I would take the word grammar, and I would look up the word learning. I would look up the word magic. I would look up the word incantation. I would look up the word spell. I would look up the word mumbo jumbo. Now, this is how I teach when I am really seriously breaking down the rules of language, which changes your mental disposition. So if I walk up to you now, if you look and if you read the entire definition of the word grammar, it means the restricting the rules of language. It means post-classical development. It means grammary, which means learning in general. It means knowledge, particularly learned in class. Why do you go to class? Class is called class warfare. Classes is the same thing as races. So when you went to grammar school, they put you in a class. The class established what you are doing now. So your economic ceiling was developed in grammar school. It was determined how much money you was going to make in grammar school. That's why they put you in a particular class. Now, I wish I could break down the definition of the word class for you, but we don't got enough time. I wish I could break down. Now, notice what the word grammar says. I'm reading from dictionary.com. It says you're going to learn this. You're going to learn a particular class. So I'm going to teach you something in class, and I'm going to put you in this box. And this box is going to include, I'm reading 14th century definition of the word grammar, which everybody that's listening to the sound of my voice uses, which includes astrology. Now, anybody know anything about astrology? Didn't they tell you that astrology was of the devil? Didn't they tell you if you go to, did they teach you that in Cretan school? All Cretans know this. You don't study astrology and all this stuff because it's grammar and magic, hence the secondary meaning of the word occult knowledge. Comes from and evolved from the Scottish word glamour. I've been saying this for 20 years. Now, let me continue reading the definition of the word grammar. Grammar school. Originally, it was a school in which the learned language was grammatically taught. It says, also who were became grammar casters. It means a verbal pendant. Father, touch the minds of your people. A verbal pendant. A verbal pendant. Now, in the movie Doctor Strange, they moved their hands around and created weapons out of freaking thin air using verbal pendants. Meaning your speech, brother, your speech, sister, creates a verbal pendant that you wear. You are a card-carrying grammar caster using glamour, grammary, and grammar tools, and you have no clue. So therefore, you are an irresponsible creator because you have been taught what I, by the grace and mercy of God, ask and he told me. A pendant is something that is an excessive and inappropriate display. It is an excessive and inappropriate display of learning. It is an overemphasis of the rules of minor detail. It is a book of knowledge without regard to common sense, a verbal. So there is a verbal, excessive, inappropriate display of learning. That's how you change form. A verbal, excessive, inappropriate display of learning. That's how you change form. A verbal, excessive, inappropriate, because, again, they gave me a form in class. They said, you're an African-American, you can only make X amount of dollars. I went to school, they said, you need to trade. I said, I want no damn trader. I want to own people who do trades. He said, that's not the class we put you in. So, well, I'm not in that class no more. I'm not a Cretan. They got upset. We designed and we taught you to be a good Cretan. You are a person who relies on the academic learning that is a insignificant detail. It means schoolmaster. So you got a verbal pendant around your neck that makes you minor in insignificant details. That's what you're doing now. The definition of the word pendant, now, triple dare anybody go to dictionary.com and look it up for yourself. Don't believe nothing I'm telling you. The word pendant, now a verbal pendant, it means that you are a verbal master, teacher, of inappropriate, unnecessary details. If you notice the stuff that you respond to, you make mountains out of molehills. You mean to tell me, man, you spend your whole life arguing and debating over what? So what got you upset yesterday? Why are you angry? Think, brothers, think, sisters. You're spending your whole life because you got a verbal pendant around your neck that says, focus on shizness that don't freaking matter. What you are crying about today ain't going to be nothing to me for you tomorrow. Because why? It is insignificant. That's the definition of the word. It means an excessive, inappropriate display of insignificant learning. It means an overemphasis on the rules of minor details. It means stuff that you are learning that don't matter. So we spend all of our life responding. Do you know that in grammar, the stuff that they teach you in grammar school, you just relearn in middle school, then you relearn in high school, then you just relearn. Do you ever notice that you don't really learn anything new? Just learn the same sentence over and over? Same books you learn in grammar school, you learn in middle school. That's called grammaria, grammar tous, grammar class. It is the art. It is an art form of keeping you stupid. Now, that's a great book I read. It was called The Dumbing Down of America. Man, it's free online. You want to blow your cookies? Man, read that book. And this is crazy. Sometimes I just like, man, you talk about, it's really sad. Because we look at the potential. Now, you're made in the image and likeness of God, and you are arguing over what? Come on, man. So what got you so upset yesterday, or the day before that, or the day before that? Let me talk about my own life, man. How do I break the conditioning, the program? I've been programmed, dude. I've been programmed, dude, to respond to bullshitness that don't matter. So I've wasted my whole life majoring in the minors, chasing a rabbit's tail that don't mean nothing because I grammatuse. I've been grammar. Now, that's just one word. I could spend, now, I already got the book called Grammaria, Grammatuse. If you don't have it, you need to email me so I can get it to you. Now, it ain't for free. Hell no, I don't do nothing for free no more. I've been there, done that. I ain't stupid. I used to be, but not no more. My time is valuable. But Grammaria, they want to teach you that your time is not valuable. God says, don't offer me up to nothing. Don't offer nothing up to me that I ain't first cost you something. You can't even come to God unless you got something. So let me make sure you understand, brother, because your pattern has been conformed. You've already been conformed to the pattern of this world at birth. You was born into this system. I didn't create the system, did you? I was nowhere around when they said you got to go to grammar school. Now remember the word grammar comes from glamour. I've been saying this for 20-plus years, too. Go to Google, type in the word glamour. Click on images, though, after you type in the word glamour. Don't believe me. That's your homework. Now remember, the basic root for the word grammatica in the Latin, or grammatique in the Greek, is glamour. You know, like high fashion. So when I think of glamorous, when I think of somebody that's glamorous, that's what I think of. But remember the word glamour, again, originally means magic. Don't forget that. The reason, originally, it means learned magic, specifically incantation. Now, the word incantation means the chanting or the uttering of words to have magical power. It is the formula employed to cast a spell. So to cast a spell, one must spell. To make it more effective, you use charm. It is a magical ceremony using sorcery. Repetitious wordiness is used to conceal. Let me say that again. Repetition and wordiness is used to conceal the incantation. Let me say that again. Now, I'm reading from dictionary.com, the definition of the word incantation. That means if you use grammar, which is what I'm doing right now, and if you say a lot of words, which is what I'm doing right now, and if you put those words in a particular order, which is what I'm doing right now, they conceal my intent. And that's where my power is at. So if I want to put a spell on you, that's what I do. Now, the word incantation. Now, I've been doing this for years. People tell me, I'll be wanting to share the letters and the emails that I get. But out of the sake of privacy and respect for people, now I just had a client who said that what I was, you know, that she had something done, and it was very, very, that I was, basically, long story short, that I was using or I was doing stuff for, I guess monetary, that would be the only gain, I'm assuming, some type of a monetary gain. What stuff? Magic and witchcraft, basically. Now, the word incantation, which is basically doing this, talking and repeating, it means ritual, formulaic, formulaic, words, or sounds. So the word incantation means to go in and cantar. Cantar, C-A-N-T-A-R, means to sing. It means enchant, so enchantment. So incantation means I'm going to go in and I'm going to enchant somebody. Now, the original definition of the word means back in the 14th century, it means exorcism. It means incantium. Cantium, it is the art of enchanting. So it means to bewitch, literally to sing spells, enchantment. So the word incantation has a root word, enchantment. The word enchantment means it is the art of enchanting. It is the state of being enchanted. It is something that enchants. So enchantment basically means to enchant. That means magic, sorcery, witchery, spell, beaming. It means fascination. So the word enchantment means to bewitch somebody with charm. It means literally to cast a magic spell upon. It means in, which means to see. Cantor means to sing. So the word chant means I'm going to sing. So chant, again, now, anybody heard of the Gregory or the Gregorian chant? A chant is a psalm, like the book of Psalms, P-A-L-M, Psalms. And then the word chant, again, dictionary.com, it means notes, which is a number of syllables that are intoned, usually sung in psalms, cantos, or church services. It is the singing or the intoning during a lethargic or lethargy service, church service, chanting to enchant somebody is done by intonation of the voice during speech or song or singing. You know that you can remember stuff more if you learn it with singing? You ever notice when you go to the gym, you can exercise. I put on my music, man. I hit the gym, and I just, you know, the song gives me more power to do my workout. So a chanter is a singer. It means to sing, to celebrate. Sing, to sing, to sing. Now, the Greek word comes from the word C-O-C-K, cock. Literally means bird who sings. I remember Peter would deny Christ when the cock crowed three times. Now, in the Vatican, which I had a picture of on my Facebook page way back in the day, and they deleted it, in the Vatican, there is a picture of a male genitalia on a chicken's face when the cock crowed three times. It's sex magic. It has to do with the resurrection, which in the ancient text means erection. Now, I've been saying this for 20-plus years, and I'm going to keep saying it for the next 20-plus years. I ain't telling nobody the truth, because if I did tell you the truth, we probably would not be friends. Now, if you want the truth, you can pray and God will show it to you like he showed me. The truth is the ability to under, over, and understand exactly what Jesus said. It's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, 10, 11, which I've been saying for 20 years. God will send you a strong delusion, because when he shows you the truth, you're going to be just like me. You're going to be like, nah, that's not it. And he's going to say, okay, go back to the pattern that you got. Because, see, to be transformed, you got to renew your mind. There is a pattern right now that doesn't allow you to remove because you are under a spell. You are put inside of a class. You are under a chant. You are under a charm. There is a verbal pendant that you wear around your neck that keep you inside of your box, and you can't get out no matter who you talk to, no matter what you read, no matter where you go, because it is the result of a magic. It's the result of sorcery. It's the result of a magical power. So and until you understand this magical practicing, this magical power yourself, because it's what you do every day, you just don't know you're a grammar caster. You don't know. Now, you went to grammar school. You just didn't know what it was. You thought it was a school of learning. But you didn't know that it is a school of learning. But you never look at the definition of the word school. You never look at the definition of the word learning. You never look at the definition of the word grammar. So what you do, the devil hides in plain sight. You never look at the definition. So you go and you want to be a singer. And you don't know, like I told my daughters when they said, Dad, I want to be a dancer. I said, do you know what a dancer is? Yes, Dad, I know what a dancer is. You might want to look at the definition of the word dancer. It doesn't mean somebody who jump around or listen to music. That's not what it means. That's what they tell you it means, but that's not the true text before 14th century, before it was changed by Constantine. Yeah, Brother Will, I didn't sign up for all of this. Hell, I didn't sign up for all this either. But if you want to know the truth, it is all of this. That's the problem. Do you know how many people... that, like, when I started today, like today's show, just today's show alone, at the beginning of today's show, there was five times the number of people that are still listening to today's show. Everybody's already disconnected. Do you think people want to know the truth? People want a quick fix, man. Don't nobody want the truth. Because the truth is hard work. It doesn't come easy. Do you know how long I've been digging and researching for this stuff? And people want me to give it to them for free. Are you serious? You will never, ever break the conditioning and the programming of your brain. You will never, never learn how to unlock your subconscious. You will never learn how to vibrate on a higher level until you slow down, check out, and attach yourself to the love of the truth. If that doesn't happen, you will always have the delusion, which is the pattern of this world. So to be transformed, brothers, to be transformed, sisters, you have to do metamorpho. That is the only way. The only way for you to override your subconscious brain, which is 90%, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Now, the word transformed means metamorpho. It means to change it to another form. It means to transfigure yourself. Let me get the correct pronunciation so that way you can understand.
Psalms 33:39, metamorpho. Metamorpho.
So metamorpho, where we get the English word metamorphosis. So we already talked about metamorphosis, and metamorphosis is the biological, and let me get the correct pronunciation on that one.
Metamorphosis. Metamorphosis.
So metamorphosis is the English for metamorpho in the Greek. And that simply means a profound change in one's form, to go from one stage to another stage. Now, let's look it up in the original Greek. So the word meta and the word morpho, two words. Let's look them up.
Strong's G, 3326, meta, meta.
So meta just means, again, it means with, it means after, and it means among. Basically, meta means to change. But the way that you change is past, present, future. It means with, it means before, it means after in the original text. So that means a metaphysician, I'm with physics, I go before physics, and I go after physics or the physical. That allows me to change physics. Is it like water? How do you change the molecular structure of water? How do you change liquid water into ice, solid? How do you change solid ice and back to water? Then how do you change water into steam? You heat it up or you cool it down. Same way that you do with the fermentation process. Same way that you do with the distillation process. Let's go a little bit further. Metamorpho. Now, meta means that I'm going to change the form of something. But, again, let's look up the original text
Strong's G 3445, Marfao.
So Marfao means to change discourse. It literally means until the mind and life is in complete harmony with the mind and life of Christ shall have been formed in you. Now, when I first read that, again, I'm reading this straight from Thayer's Greek lexicon, and it didn't make no sense to me. And I was like, what the? So basically, the form is, morphao means form. So something is formed through discourse. And then I was like, oh, okay, that's what it's saying. Because it means a person who sings, enchants, incants. So singing is the same as talking in the ancient text. So a chant, so when I enchant, it means I go into your body and sing to you. Remember, the only way Solomon was when old boy played the harp, or he, you know, sung, and it soothed the demon. Same thing. So discourse, didactic discourse, what I'm doing right now. So it means your form changes. And then it said literally until a mind and life in complete harmony with the mind and life of Christ shall have been formed in you. So what this is saying is metamorphao means singing, enchanting, talking. Literally changes the mind, and the mind changes the life into complete harmony with the mind and with the life of Christ when you do it with Christ's words. So what happens if you don't do it with Christ's words? Let me make sure you understand what I'm saying. You want to change your subconscious mind. You want to oscillate and vibrate on a higher level so that way the things that are affecting you don't affect you anymore. That way you can vibrate in the life of wealth, health, wisdom, and relationship. And again, don't believe a word I'm saying. Go to Strong Concordance, number G as in golf. 3, metamorphao. We're looking at the second word. We already looked at the word meta. It means that I'm going to sing after, which means I'm going to say a bunch of words in repetition. These words are literally going to affect your mind. Your mind is literally going to affect your life, and it's going to bring your mind and your life into complete harmony with the mind and the life of Christ when I'm using these words that's inside of the Helios Biblios. That's what the definition of the word morphao means. So we already looked at the meta. Now we look at morphao. Now morphao has an underlining meaning. Let's look it up.
Strong's G 3444, Marfay.
So Marfay, and we're about out of time, so we'll pick up part 3 tomorrow. We'll pick it up with Marfay. Now morphao again means a bunch of words singing and chanting changes my mind and my life. Marfay means this change is going to give me the external appearance so that when a person or a thing looks, it strikes their vision. Now, let me say that again. Now, very important. Marfay means a form by which a person or a thing strikes vision. It is the external appearance. So tomorrow we're going to break down the external appearance. So a bunch of words that are said changes my subconscious mind. My subconscious mind changes my physical external appearance so that a person or a thing that sees it, it strikes their vision. It means that I am going to change the form by which a person or a thing externally sees me, which is the goal. Now, I want to change form, right? I want to change from poverty to wealth. I want to change from sickness to health. I want to change from ignorance to wisdom. And I want to change from a bad relationship to a good relationship. So when people see me, the external appearance will be like, people will see me as being wealthy. People will see me as being healthy. People will see me as being wise. People will see me as having a great relationship. So I want to have, again, an adjustment that shape the external appearance. Morphe. Morphe means through words that changes, again, my mind changes my life. My life changes my body. It actually means that I'm going to say words that have such significant power that it means to lay hold of, to seize the form by which a person or a thing strikes the vision of the external appearance. That means that people see me differently because my brain projects me differently. Let me say it again. Now remember, everything that happens in your life is a projection of what's going on inside of your brain. Everything that happens in your life is a projection of what's going on inside of your brain. Everything that I see, when I look at you, what I see is what you project out. You are a projector. That's why I told you, you are the director and the star of your own movie. Make it a good one. So when I watch the movie of your life, I'm going to say, man, that is a great movie of so-and-so's life, because you are projecting that image. But that image, you determine based upon the words that you incant to yourself. So if you incant, I'm a loser, you're going to project the mind and the life and the external experience of a loser, and I'm going to watch the movie called The Loser. Now, if you don't want me to watch a movie called The Loser, if you don't want other people to have the external image of you as being a loser, then don't project that image. Well, how do you not project that image? Well, don't project that life. Well, how do you not live the life of a loser? Don't have the mindset of a loser. Well, how do I change the mindset of the loser? Grammar, grammaria, grammatus. Go through a metamorphosis in your own brain. Go through a biological metamorphosis in your own head. A complete metamorphosis must take place. That means that you got to go through all of the developmental stages of metamorphosis, so that way you can get to the adult stage that allows you to experience what is called morphology. Now, morphology is the branch of biology that deals with the forming and the structure of organism. Morphology is a pattern of word formation, pattern of word formation. This pattern establishes behavior through a combination of morphemes. Let me close with this, because otherwise we'll be going for another hour. Brothers and sisters, so you hear words. The words I'm talking about is words that you don't speak. I'm talking about the words that you say to yourself. I'm talking about that self-talk. I'm talking about that mind chatter. I'm talking about that little voice in your head that says, loser, 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 loser. You got to change that voice that says, winner, 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 winner. And that, again, establishes a structure, a biological pattern. This is a pattern of word formation. It is a pattern of word formation. It is a pattern of word formation. So you, who chooses a word formation in your brain? The Bible says bring every thought into captivity. Bring every word formation. So that's what I started doing. I started bringing every word formation into my body, into my brain. I didn't care what my body did. I only was concerned with the formation of that was inside of my brain. And when I changed the formation that was inside of my brain to a descriptive pattern, love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, self-control, of wealth, health, wisdom, and relationship, that, again, changed the pattern. But how did that pattern change? How did the behavior change? Through a combination of morphemes. Now, morphemes is just like a morpheme or a morphine. Now, remember, M-O-R-P-H-I-N-E, that's a drug, external. You need the internal drug. Basically, you need to self-drug yourself. You need to drug yourself. You need a P, you need to be a M-O-R-P-H-E-M-E. Morpheme. Let me get the correct pronunciation for you.
Morpheme.
So morpheme, M-O-R-P-H-E-M-E, not M-O-R-P-H-I-N-E. Notice how close the fake drug to the real one. It is two letters difference. So if you don't drug yourself by letters, so when you put a bunch of letters in your head, it releases M-O-R-P-H-E-M-E, which is, again, dictionary.com, grammatical units of language, each constituting a word or meaningful part of a word that cannot be divided into a smaller independent grammatical unit. Now, to me, that doesn't mean nothing. It's not until you break up the words morph and eme, then it makes sense. Now, morph, again, morph, like Morpheus, he's the god of dreams. Part of the words that contain what they call effix, A-F-F-I-X-E-S. Now, do you really need to know this? Yeah, probably not. But I'm a didactic teacher. I like to know everything. So the word M-O-R-P-H-E-M-E, M-O-R-P-H means form or shape. The last word, E-M-E, really means P-H-O-N-E, phone. It's P-H-O-E-M-E. It's like a pheromone, but it's a phone, P-H-O-N-E-M-E. Now, the first time I saw this, and let me pull it up for you. It simply means a small unit of language.
Phoneme.
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 So it's a small unit of language. So basically when you break words down to smaller syllables, it's sound. Now, it simply means P-H-O-N-E, phone, and then me. So when you do this, you're phoning yourself. That's really what it means. So M-O-R-P-H-E-M-E means M-O-R-P-H, I can change my form when I call myself. That's basically what it means. So somebody else is calling you, so they change your form. So if you call yourself, talk to yourself. Some people call it meditation, transcendental meditation to be specific. It's the technique of the what they call inner peace. That means, you know, like all of this stuff of taking and emptying your brain, I've never been for that. I didn't know why. I just was totally against meditation where you empty your brain. I didn't know why, but my spirit told me don't do that. So I never did. So I never got no demons and all this other stuff. People got all types of issues. Most people that talk to me, they got demons that are based upon the things that they use to call themselves. But they didn't know. Like I tell you guys, everything from eating watermelons to doing extreme exercise and then slowing it down, everything I've been doing since birth was the pattern that was given to me at birth. I knew intuitively, people told me, hey, dude, don't elevate your heart rate that much. That's not healthy. So, I'm going to do it anyway. Come to find out, the greatest thing you can ever do. People tell me, hey, man, I don't know doing watermelon diets is good. Yeah, I'm going to do it anyway. Come to find out, the greatest thing you can do. I begin up at 3 o'clock every morning. People say, that's not a good thing to do. Going to find out, that's the bewitching hour. That's the time that heaven and earth basically connect. That's the best time to get in contact with God. Been doing that since birth. I've been praying this prayer since birth. Father, I don't know who you are, but whoever you are, I don't want to talk to no little G's. I only want to talk to the big G. I've been praying that prayer since birth. Because I saw my mom get caught up in some stuff, and I said, I don't know what the truth is because they told me this was the truth, and I know this can't be the truth because this version of the truth, another lady can wrap up pipe and tape and beat me with it and starve me, and they got a Bible, so I know that ain't the truth. Because if it is, I don't want to serve a God that beat kids. So I knew that wasn't the truth. So I've been praying since I was a little kid. This ain't the truth. But whatever it is, I want that. People tell me, oh, no, you got to pray in Jesus' name. Yeah, I don't do that. But that's just me. But guess what? It works for me. I don't know if it works for you, but it works for me. Because what have I been doing, brothers and sisters? What have I been doing? I've been phoning myself. Because all the ancient texts say that the kingdom of God, you already got it. It's inside of you. So somebody wants you to change the pattern and go outside of you to find it. And the Gospel of Matthew, Thomas says that anything that precedes you in the gospel precedes you into heaven. The Gospel of Luke says if the kingdom of God does not come through observation, so why are you looking? It don't come that way. That's what Luke 17:20 said. We read that yesterday. So I've been doing this since birth because that was the pattern I was born with. They tried to get me to change it, and I did. It didn't work. And my mom lost her life at 40. She left 13 kids because she changed her pattern to what some other fool said. And the Bible says, don't do that. Don't change your pattern to conform to the pattern of this world. The Bible says that everybody is in this world, but they're not of this world. But the people that are in this world, a lot of them have conformed to this world because they've been led astray by the lust of their own eyes, by the lust of flesh and the pride of life. That's what got me. That's why I changed my form. I just changed it back. How did I change it back? I let go of the pattern of this world, and I took the pattern that's inside of my brain, that's inside of my spirit, that's that sixth sense, that small, still voice, whatever word you want to use that you like. All I know is make sure that you are calling yourself. Make sure that you pick up the phone, P-H-O-N-E-M-E, and you make a distinct sound. Now, in the Greek, it means, definitely the word means a sound made by your voice. That's why when I was in school, I read the question, I read the answer in my voice. I played it back to myself. I made straight A's. I took the test. I didn't know what the answer was, but something came to me and said, see, listen to that voice. And I made an A. And every time I don't listen to that voice, I find myself in trouble. But every time I do listen to that voice, everything works out. Are you listening to the sound of your own voice, brother? Are you listening to the sound of your own voice, sister? Are you listening to something else? Now, I'm just scratching the surface. I'm going to do a part three tomorrow and probably wrap it up because I don't know if I want to, you know, I don't know if you guys are ready for all of this. But there's another Greek word under this word, morphe, that we want to break down. And I'm going to play it for you, but I'm not going to give you the definition until tomorrow. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about the smoking gun of guns. Oh, there's a lot of smoking guns. This is a big one right here.
Strong's G, 3313, Meros.
One of the foundations of my ministry, Meros. Underneath the word, phao, morphe, morph, meta, is another Greek word, Meros. Tomorrow we drop the smoking gun, Meros. You want to get a jump on it? Look it up. Go to dictionary.com. I'm not dictionary.com. Go to Strong Concordance number G3313. The two most ancient occult numbers combined holds the key. The number 33, two numbers. You talk to any Luciferian, any occult on the planet, they will tell you. That's why there's no 13th floor in most hotels. That's why the number 33 represents a third. Three thirds. Strong Concourse number G, 3313. Tomorrow we pick it up with Meteros. My brothers, my sisters, I am Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May his son bless you. His name is Yahushua. And may the Ruach, the set apart one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth because he will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Y'all need to wake up now, but no, this ain't a pyramid scheme. Like the police, yeah, I'm still on the scene. After I murdered and flee, reality, you wouldn't murder or flee. It's all truth if you heard it from me. Verbal or circle and seems firmly a virtue, bring the world to its knees. So when I bless you, you should certainly sneeze. People don't purchase CDs, so I give it to them for free. Cause one bird in the house better than two in the tree. You still dreaming. Thinking your career is something that's not. You kettle corn or something to pop. You still dreaming. Pass a message if you run in the park. Tell a mama hold it down and hold you up like all the traffic just stopped. It's like some people. It's like I let the sample sing to you. The truth is in the words, but it's all a dream to you. Or maybe your inception, Leonardo speak to you. DiCaprio tell you that you nice, snap out the actor, yo. You going us to get out of that shell like pistachios. So quit dreaming. Quit dreaming. 1-2-1-2. Some dreams stay dreams, some dreams come true. A 1-2-1-2. Some dreams stay dreams, some dreams come true. You just, it's just, I see.
Huh? You're still dreaming, man. Still dreaming.